You are worthy, Lord, to reign. And he's reigning. But it also says that he's sitting at the Father's right hand, waiting until his enemies be made his footstool. So that's why he's taking up his holy throne deep within your heart and my heart. As he takes up his holy throne deep within our hearts, we, the body of Christ on earth, we, the ambassadors of heaven and earth, we do what the scriptures say, which is we reign in life through Christ Jesus. And we overcome the enemy. Actually, all we have to do is enforce the defeat of the enemy. The enemy has been defeated. Now, we know just because a country is defeated doesn't mean that the challenge is stopped. We've just gone through two examples. The United States defeated Iraq in a very short time. But we had troops there for, what, 10 years? Afghanistan, same thing. The peace has to be enforced. You and I need to enforce that peace. And we enforce that peace through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And today is what the world calls Easter, what many Christians call Easter, and we like to call it Resurrection Day. It's a day on which we honor, remember, and commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. For Jesus loved us so much that he chose to die on the cross for us. But you know, his dying on the cross, his particular dying on the cross was very special because he died for us and took our sins. But death on the cross was not so unusual in those days. In fact, when Jerusalem was surrounded, under siege, when they ultimately conquered it and destroyed the temple, they crucified so many people. The Romans crucified so many people that one historian writes, there was not enough space around for the crosses, nor wood for the crosses. They crucified thousands of people. And we know some of the apostles were crucified. One in particular chose to be crucified upside down because he deemed he was not fit to be crucified in the same manner as his Lord Jesus. So death by crucifixion was not that unusual and not that special. What was special about Jesus' crucifixion was he was innocent and he took our sins and he suffered for us. In taking our sins and suffering for us, he suffered in a manner that was totally different, incomprehensible by all the other people who have been crucified in history. Because they died in their own pain and their own sufferings. But Jesus died with our pains and our sufferings. Our emotional pains, our physical pains, all our sufferings. He took all that. He took our sins on the cross. Took it all for us. But if the story had ended there with Jesus on the cross, we would have nothing. Because without the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave, without the resurrection of Jesus from the grave, it would have been useless. Christianity is the only religion, and I don't particularly like the word religion, because the word religion comes from two Latin words, as do many, many English words. Two Latin words, re, re, and ligare, Re means again, that can repeat. Ligare means to bind up. Religion means to bind up again. That we were once, the Bible says, we were once all bound up by the devil because of our sins and because of the fear of death. Every human being, before Jesus and without Jesus, is afraid of dying. They may choose to commit suicide. They may choose to die, but that doesn't mean they're not afraid. But once we accept Jesus, we come out of that bondage of being bound up by fear and by sin. And we come into the freedom of a relationship with Jesus Christ. But so many move on into religion and they become bound up again by rules and regulations and rituals of man, not set free by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. So Jesus died to set us free. And in dying and being risen from the dead, rising up from the dead. You know, it's interesting that the English kind of stumps me here. Because we normally want to say that he was raised from the dead. But on the other hand, he is the resurrection. And he, the resurrection, rose from the dead. So the question is, which way do we put it? Okay? So Jesus rose from the dead. Christ the Lord is risen today. And because he's risen today, Christianity is the only religion that can be proven or disproven. Most religions are built around things which can neither be proven nor disproven until they die and then they see if it's true. But the religion that's called Christianity, and again, I don't like the word religion, Christianity, the relationship with God through Christ Jesus, Christianity can be proven or disproven. If the tomb is not empty, then Christianity is a hoax. It is as simple as that. But if the tomb is empty, Jesus has arisen, and his power is available to do what he says. Amen?
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's see how the Bible puts it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. It's just very logical and simple. If there's no resurrection of the dead, he can't be raised from the dead. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is vain. Your faith is useless. And worse than that, we are false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if the dead don't rise up. So Christianity rests on that fact. You know, my wife and I have been privileged to go to the Holy Land, to Israel, Jerusalem. And I will tell you, we saw a lot of buildings. And that's what they are, buildings. And the nicest thing I can say about them is that they're buildings. But we got to the Garden Tomb. Oh my. People were waiting in line crying. I mean, I'm almost crying just thinking about it the first time. Waiting in line. It's just an empty tomb. And you know they found it. It is the only, but I hate to use the word attraction, it's the only place where visitors go that is run by born-again Christians. Only place. And they found it, if I can remember my history, a little bit over 100 years ago. Some born-again believers in England studying the scripture, they said, you know, based on the scriptures, we think we can find where Jesus was buried. And they used the scriptures and went and said, based on the scripture, there should be a garden around here, and there's a huge garbage dump. And they dug through 50 to 80 feet of garbage straight down, and they found part of a garden. And they start spilling out, and they found the garden tomb. buried under 50 feet of garbage. Isn't that just like the devil? Just like the devil to try to hide the fact that the tomb was empty. But just like God to preserve it, to show you and me the tomb is empty. Man. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And the anointing in that tomb, you can't stand in line and not know that Jesus lay there. You don't need anybody to tell you. The Spirit tells you. I mean, I wish you could all go. I wish everybody in the world could go experience the garden tomb. So, Jesus rose from the dead. So Christianity is real. And if Jesus be raised from the dead, he's alive, which means he will do what he says he'll do, which means we should be living in a world of miracles, signs, and wonders. And if you're not living a world of miracles, signs, and wonders, maybe you're not experiencing the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in your life. And God wants you to experience that. God wants you to live in that resurrection power. Romans 1 verse 4 says, Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So Jesus was declared to be the Son of God by the power because of the resurrection from the dead. It all comes down to the resurrection from the dead. Matthew 27:53. On the day he was crucified, many came out of the graves after his resurrection. The dead arose and went into the holy city and appeared to many. Why? I'm sure there are lots of reasons. But here's one I'm sure is. That Jesus is the resurrection. And what a better sign than to show resurrection when you kill the Son of God. Okay? Acts 4:29. The apostles are praying, Lord, they've been threatened. Do not preach about Jesus. Don't use the name of Jesus. And they said, Lord, behold their threats and grant us your servants that we may speak your word. Acts 4:30. By stretching forth your hand to heal. See, Christianity is not idle words. Christianity is the word of God with action, with power, with signs, with wonders, with people getting healed, raised from the dead. Lives being changed. By stretching forth your hand to heal and with signs and wonders that may be done in the name of your Son, your holy child, Jesus. Verse 33. And with great power, not little power, with great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Great grace. Grace is God's help when they don't deserve it. That's what we all want. Great help. Great grace. And grace comes. Grace is multiplied to you and to me through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. The more you know about God, the more you know about Jesus Christ, is the more grace is multiplied to you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Now, Jesus was the last Adam. God created the Garden of Eden, a mini paradise on earth, if you will. Put Adam and Eve in there. And Adam walked in a glorified body. And nothing could harm him. He could do anything he wanted to do except eat the fruit. Because he was given free will. And free will is meaningless unless there's an opportunity for disobedience. And there's only one opportunity for him to disobey. One fruit. Don't eat that fruit. And he blew it. And God has given to man, through Adam, to Adam and to man, as part of our inheritance of blessing, dominion and authority over the earth and everything that moved upon it. And when Adam sinned, that authority was transferred to Satan, who is called in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, the God of this world. Satan is the God of this world. People say, if there's a God, how come these terrible things are happening? How come today they're looking for bodies in four different locations on the earth today? This very day, in four places on the earth, people are looking for bodies. The ferry in South Korea, the plane in the Indian Ocean, Mount Everest, and in the state of Washington. How awful. Not to mention bodies in LA for some people from two serial killers. What, how terrible. What a state the world has degenerated to. That's the highlights on the news. Because that power was transferred to Satan. And Jesus came and defeated him. And brought the power back to man. Because Jesus was the last Adam. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, as it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. But the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. A quickening spirit is a spirit that gives life. And Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He is the life that sustains you. He's the life that overwhelms death. He's the way when the world tells you there's no way. When the doctor says there's no way, he is the way. For he is truth. And his truth will change every circumstance of life. For everything in life is subject to change. Except the word of God. God and his word don't change. Everything else changes. And the word of God changes everything. And the word of God in your mouth is a sword. And that sword will change everything. Your tongue speaking God's unchangeable word will change the world. For everything in the world is subject to change. And so the last Adam came and bought back for us everything that the first Adam lost. Because Jesus was greater than Adam. And he brought everything back, including authority and dominion over everything on earth. That's why no evil shall befall you. And nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you if you believe the word of God and you keep it in your mouth. 1 Corinthians 15:21 says, for since by one man came death, by one man also came the resurrection of the dead. How awesome. Jesus is the resurrection, came up on resurrection day, yet you and I could live in that resurrection power. So Christianity is founded on the resurrection. Without a resurrection, there is no Christianity. But Christianity lives on the resurrection. We live daily on the resurrection. You know, your car runs on gasoline. We run on resurrection power. Amen? Amen. We run on resurrection power. We are supposed to run on resurrection power. Christians means followers of Christ. We are supposed to run on resurrection power. But you know what? No matter how wonderful your car is, if you don't put gas in it, it's going to come to a halt. Right? You know, this man was a farmer. And he had a lot of tractors, quite well off. He learned a lot from the tractors. So he went to the biggest car manufacturer in Italy, Fiat. And he said, you know, if you'd make these changes to your cars, they'd be much better. And the guys laughed. The guy said, you tend to your tractors, we'll take your cars. Why? They're the most successful car manufacturer in Italy. So the guy says, okay. So he went out and started it and made his own car. Named it after himself, Ferrari. Is that awesome? It's awesome. So cars, whether they be Ferraris or Fiats or VWs, they run on gas. And their performance depends on A, having gas, and B, the kind of gas. We are Christians. How you walk in your Christianity depends on what you feed into your heart and your mind. You feed nothing, you don't go anywhere. You feed garbage, car chokes to a halt. Nowadays, gas isn't so bad. But I remember the days, years ago, when you had to really watch where you bought gas, otherwise your car would go chook, 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 and pause. I'm a little bit older than you think I am, okay? We live in newness of life because of the resurrection power. We live in newness of life. So one of the tests is, are you running on resurrection power gas? Is, are you walking in newness of life? Romans 6:4 says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. We're buried by baptism, water baptism, into the death of Jesus. Water baptism is the introduction into walking in divine life and divine health. You can't walk in health without doctors and medicines and drugs and hospitals without water baptism. So we are buried by him by baptism into the death of Jesus, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. In other words, when you're buried in baptism, you're buried into his death. You come out of the water and you're resurrected into newness of life, and resurrection power starts to run your life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death in baptism, we should also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Likeness of his resurrection. This is a man who walked through a wall. He walked through a wall. This is a man who says, see you later, and went up, boops. No booster rockets, it just went up. This is the Son of God to whom God has given everything there is. And the Bible says you and I are joined ears with him. All we need to do is make sure we pump the right fuel into our hearts and minds. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a reason why we are powered by the resurrection power. That's because the Holy Spirit floods us with life so we can reign in life in Christ. Reign. Reign over everything in life. Everything that moves on the earth. So your needs can be met. So you can move more and more into the riches of the earth. That everything your heart desires, you can have. That you can walk without sickness and disease and doctors. That you don't need to be afraid of people trying to kill you. People can fire bullets at you, come at you with knives. It makes no difference. You are reigning in life. Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by spirit that dwells in you. Saying, the spirit, Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, lives you and quickens you. Quickens means gives life. Pumps life into your mortal flesh. I ran into a neighbor recently. We're outside and we're chatting. And I got an opportunity to minister. She opened the door and I'm ministering. And to make a point, I said to her, how old do you think I am? This is the third time now in the last 6 months this has happened, okay? They all pick the same number. Must be a polite number, okay? So if you did not know it, this is a polite number. She says, oh, let me see, 49. See, the polite number is 49, okay? My point being that God has promised that he'd renew your youth as the eagle. And that's one of the things the Holy Spirit is doing by dwelling in you and pumping life into you. Life into every cell to drive out every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, every pain, every ache, even poverty, driving it out of you, out of your thinking and your life because you're running on resurrection power. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one. Oh, I should mention, you know, for those of you who think I may be 50, okay? My age, I should mention my age, right? Thank you. 3 weeks ago, I celebrated my 70th birthday, okay? There's a big difference between 70 and 49, especially when you're on the 70th side. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. He wants you to reign in life. He died so you can reign in life. He died so you can be an ambassador of heaven and earth and reign in life. To be a light on a hill to draw people to you, to Jesus Christ the Son. Christianity overcomes because of the resurrection. Christianity overcomes because of the resurrection. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And I have two of the most wonderful stories about it. I don't have time to tell you two, but I will tell you one because I'll do the one very briefly. There's a lady named Laura Wilkinson. Laura Wilkinson. And she was in the 2000 Olympics. Let me just read some things here really fast. Laura Wilkinson, first leap of faith from the 10-meter platform that's 30 feet high. That's like three stories up. Was at the age of 15. After being told by one of her teachers that she was too old to start a new sport, probably related to the guy who in 1890 told the government he was running the patent office. And he told the government, close down the patent office because everything has already been invented. Probably was related to this teacher. She was too old to start a new sport. Laura plunged into diving anyway. 9 months later, after being told she was too old to start a new sport, she was kicked off her high school diving team for being a waste of space. A waste of space. The next year, she won the U.S. national title. Made the U.S. national team and earned a bronze medal at the World Cup. She overcame great obstacle to win her first major international gold medal, the 1998 Goodwill Games. She's the only American diver to ever win a gold medal at this prestigious competition. In 1999, after winning her second national title, she left college and left her college scholarship. See, college is smarter than high school. High school said she couldn't do it. College gave her a scholarship. Shortly after the 2000 Olympic trials, Laura shattered her right foot in a training accident. I mean, you can believe that, jumping off 30 feet in the air. But with a persevering heart, she was not deterred by this injury. Together with her coach, they designed some unique training methods to keep the mental aspects of diving in her mind and heart. She finally got back into the water 3 weeks before the Olympic trials. The mental training began to pay off. And I'm saying the spiritual training put her over. Put her over, okay? All this is for the spiritual training. She won the trials, and made the Olympic team. With 3 weeks practice. 3 months later, while wearing a protective shoe to walk up the ladder to the platform, okay, she beat what many said were impossible. One article said the greatest upset in U.S. swimming and diving history. Greatest upset. She has a broken leg recovering. She has protective gear. She's walking up 30 feet and last day, and she's in eighth place. And she's going against the best in the world. The Chinese at that time were dominant. Chinese and the Japanese were dominant. I mean, nobody could beat them. And she's in eighth place. She went up there, and my wife and I were privileged to watch this live. And starting in eighth place with a broken foot, she won the gold medal. Okay? First American to win the gold medal. And on all international TV, they said to her, how could you possibly do that? And in front of the whole world, she says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Okay? No, that's a champion. That is a champion. Amen? 1 John 5:4 and 5:5 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God, which means they believe Jesus was resurrected on Resurrection Day. Romans 8:57. Nay, in all these things, in all the challenges of life, we are more than conquerors. And as Pastor Matthew has made it very clear here, if you look at the Greek for more than a conqueror, in modern translation, the highest translation level would be, we are super conquerors. We're more than conquerors. We are super conquerors through him that loves us. Philippians 3:10. The Apostle Paul writes, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. For when you understand the power of his resurrection, and that your life is powered by resurrection power, you can do all things through Christ Jesus. Whether it be financial, whether it be mental, whether it be spiritual, whether it has to do with overcoming animals, people, circumstances, or the earth. All of them. You can overcome them. Jesus said, the things I do, you will do in greater things. Jesus spoke to a storm on the Sea of Galilee, and it stopped. We here at ABC have spoken to several hurricanes and typhoons. Highest level hurricanes, highest level typhoons, and stopped them. Stopped them. My wife and I were scheduled to speak at the International Ministers Conference in Manila in the Philippines. And we found out that a typhoon was supposed to hit the same day, scheduled at the same time, the convention starts. So, of course, we prayed, as did many others. Back here, people were praying. They called up this international evangelist, who was a friend of mine. And they said, Pastor is in Manila, and there's a typhoon set to hit it. And he said, if Pastor is in Manila, no typhoon is going to hit Manila. No, I'm not saying that to point the finger at me. I'm saying that to point the finger at the resurrection power, which is in every single person who's invited Jesus Christ into their heart. Many Christians don't walk in that power because God says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And of course, the typhoon never came. It went elsewhere. Wouldn't it be a very good story if the typhoon came, right? Category 5. I don't think they use category. Whatever it was the biggest level. I forget how to measure it. Christians are supposed to overcome even the last enemy. 1 Corinthians 15:26 says the last enemy to be overcome is death. And strong believers today say we overcome death because we have no fear of death, one. And two, when we die, we're going to be resurrected. That's great. There are two good ways of overcoming death. But there's a better way. There's always a better way. And the better way is don't die. Don't die. Why would I say that? Because Jesus lives in your heart. God lives inside you. And Jesus says, I'm life. If life is inside you, why would you die? You can't turn on darkness and drive out light. The smallest light will impact the darkness in the darkest room. But death can't drive out life. Life is in you, and life will drive out death. At least that's the way it's supposed to be. When you understand the resurrection life is in you, and you're powered by resurrection life. Here's how the Lord Jesus put it. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Not it's going to pass. It's passed from death into life. No, because it says everlasting life. People say, yeah, that's everlasting life after you die. And then you come back, and it's everlasting. Well, that's not what it says. But if that's what people believe, let's try the next one. John 11:24. Martha, this is where Jesus came to raise Lazarus from the dead. From the physical dead. He was so physically dead that Martha says, he said, open the tomb. He said, but Lord, it's been 4 days. He's stinking, right? No, Martha said unto him, verse 24, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And the next verse goes on to say, and he that believes in me and is alive shall never die. John 11:26. He that believes in me and is alive shall never die. Then he goes out and raises Lazarus from the dead, to show that he's talking about physical death. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep in death, but we shall all be changed. We know that when Jesus returns, the scriptures are very clear. Those who are alive and remain shall be caught up with him. They shall be changed and be caught up with him. They shall not die. It says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those who are alive and remain shall be caught up with them. Meaning they won't die. God is no respecter of persons. If some people won't die, then everybody has a right not to die. But they run around saying, nothing is certain but taxes and debt. And they get taxed and they die. Because you have what you say. They expect to die. As you believe, you receive. I expect to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. I expect to be raptured. I say it with my mouth. I said, devil, you can't kill me because I'll be here when Jesus returns. You know, a lot of people have said that and have died. They've said, for example, God told me I won't die. As soon as they say that, you know it's not God. I mean, I understand many great men and women have said that. And many of them have died. In fact, as far as I know, they've all died. I don't know anyone today who's still alive who is saying, God told me I won't die. Because the Bible says here, whether you live and die, it's your choice. And whether you live and die depends on what you say with your mouth. And God doesn't see us as dead ever. In fact, he doesn't even like to use the word dead. He says sleep. Right? So when somebody says, God says I won't die, no, that's not God's language. God's language is choose life and choose blessing. Don't choose curses and don't choose death. Blessing and life go together. Curses and death go together. And they all come out of our mouth. That's why death and life are the power of our tongue. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are the power of your tongue. John 5:21. For the Father raises up the dead and quickens, that is, gives life to them. As the Father raises up the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. Even so the Son gives life to whom he will. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Amen. Father, I thank you. These words and resurrection power. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd make it real to each person here. In fact, let me just lead you all in a very simple, short prayer, if you will. Okay? If you'd like, just join me. It's Resurrection Day. What a wonderful day to pray. So if you'd like, just repeat after me. Almighty God,
Almighty God,
I thank you for Jesus.
I thank you for Jesus.
I believe Jesus is your son. And that you love me so much.
And that you love me so much.
You send Jesus
to die for me.
Jesus suffered
for me.
He took my sins,
my sicknesses,
my diseases,
my poverty,
that I might have health
and life.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
And he is in heaven today.
I ask Jesus into my heart
to be my Savior
and my Lord.
And I receive
his salvation,
his forgiveness,
his health,
his prosperity,
his overcoming,
resurrection life.
Father, I pray in Jesus' name that this year,
from today
until next Resurrection Sunday,
you'd guide me
and lead me
and change me.
Help me to study the Word.
Help me to understand the Word.
And I declare
that this time next year,
I'll be a new creature,
walking in the newness of life.
Because of the resurrection power
of Jesus Christ,
which will remove from me
sickness,
infirmities,
fear,
devils and demons.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.